are two options for our scriptures for today. One is the Sunday that we call Thanksgiving Sunday, and the other is called the last Sunday of the Christian year, the Festival of Christ the King. I've tried to blend those themes today, and to celebrate Christ our Redeemer and finish a year even as we're starting a new one. But I also wanted to work in the Thanksgiving text. So the gospel text that I've planned to read to you and will plan to use as a beginning place is from Luke 17, 11 through 19. 17, 11 through 19 of the Gospel of Luke. And it goes like this. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 men with skin diseases approached him. Keeping their distance from him, they raised their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, show mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they left, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, returned and praised God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus replied to him, "Weren't there 10 cleansed? Then where are the other 9? No one returned to praise God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to him, "Get up and go. Your faith has made you whole." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A hungry man was walking down the street in a medieval village. He had only one piece of bread in his hand. But he came to a restaurant where some meatballs were being grilled. The cooking meal was so near and smelled so delicious that the man went inside to the kitchen and he held his piece of bread up over where the meat was cooking to capture some of the aroma of that meat sizzling. And then as he started to eat that piece of bread, the angry restaurant owner seized him and took him away to see a judge. The owner protested, "This man is stealing the smell of my meat without asking permission. I want you to make him pay me for it." The judge thought for a moment and then held up his own purse in front of the owner and he shook it and the coins rattled. And he just kept shaking it. "What are you doing that for?" asked the restaurant owner. The judge replied, "I am paying you the sound of money for the smell of food." The challenge that we deal with when we talk about the least and the last of the kingdom of God is to make sure that what we are sharing with them is real. And if we are sharing Christ with them, then that is real. We must make sure that when we try to show our care for people, that it's expressed in ways that are tangible and that begins to change their life, begins to set them on a new course. I'm very happy to say that we gave away over 200 turkey dinners. That's remarkable. That's giving away something not just that smells good, but that sustains life for a family. I'm proud to say that we are the Salvation Army in Bridgeport. Now, I didn't say we represent the Salvation Army. I said we are the Salvation Army in Bridgeport. And we also participate in other programs like our Pantry Express, and I have a story about that too. The very next morning after the Thanksgiving dinner, and just about every one of you were a part of that. I know you were there at the high school. You were tired when you got home just like I was that night. I came up here a little late the next morning, maybe around 10 o'clock, I came in. I thought it was going to be a quiet day, and I came out, and there must have been 20 people in the concourse area out front because we were having our monthly Pantry Express that we have on the, is it second Tuesday of every month? Second Thursday. It was the next day after our Wednesday night Thanksgiving dinner, but there were people everywhere, and it was about half and half, guests and members. And some of the very same members that had been working the night before at the Thanksgiving dinner had come up here at 8 o'clock that morning to get ready to set up and meet our guests who were coming to the Pantry Express. If you don't know about the Pantry Express, that's not just canned stuff. That's fresh produce that we've been given. We do this once a month, and we pass it out to people so that they can eat in healthy ways and so they can feed their family in healthy ways. That's real help. That is not just talking about the smell of food or the jingle of coins. That's giving help substantially and making a difference in people's lives. A pastor named Fred Craddock tells of a time that he attended a conference on hunger, and there were some high-named speakers who were presenting at that conference, people who had been brought in from all over to talk on that subject, on world hunger and on how it can be relieved. And near the end of the conference, a young, willowy woman got up to speak. Everybody wondered what she would say. Her long, straight hair fell down on her back, almost to her waist. She carried a legal pad to the podium, and she began to read. At first, Craddock says he couldn't understand what she was saying, couldn't follow it, couldn't even get all the words, and eventually it dawned on him, as it did all the other listeners, that she was reading the same sentence over and over, each time in a different language. Finally, at the very end, she spoke the sentence in English, but all the time, in as many languages as she could muster up, she was repeating the phrase, "Mommy, I'm hungry. Mommy, I'm hungry." Almost infinitely. They said that she was the most powerful speaker of that entire conference, and that she brought people to tears. As Craddock and his group left that event to go back to Atlanta, alongside the highway, he saw a sign that he'd seen numerous times before, but before he'd barely even noticed it. This time he did. It said, "All You Can Eat Buffet, $4.99. And this time he said, as he passed it, that message seemed to him to be rather obscene, knowing that there are children in the world that are hungry, that there are real needs. Guilt can be a powerful motivator, but I think there's a broader motivator than that: gratitude. And when we celebrate the gratitude of having plenty and show our gratitude for it, then I think we are prepared to make a difference. That's what Thanksgiving is about. It's not just thanking God for being so good to us, but it's about recognizing how good God has been to us and turning that inside out to show good for others. You know that. You do that. And I'm proud of us for doing it together. It works with immigration, too. It's not just about food. I'm going to open a can of worms here. Most of you saw our president, Barack Obama, finding a way forward this week toward legal immigration for those who've been in this country illegally for 5 years or more. It's not a free ride. It can't be. It shouldn't be. You have to have been here a while, and you have to have behaved. At least you have to have a clean criminal record. There are lots of details, and I don't understand them all, but it's true that all of us are here in this country. Even if we were born here, we are blessed and given a gift of grace. And it's a privilege that we did not simply earn. And really, we could not earn. In fact, history shows that the immigration to this land across the ocean in the 1600s was more a matter of conquest than it was of birthright. This land had native peoples who were displaced as the illegal immigrants moved west, establishing the American frontier and what we now call rugged individualism. I saw a cartoon in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram this week. It was a Thanksgiving picture of a long table with pilgrims sitting on one side and three Indians with feathers in their caps sitting on the other side. And one of the Indians is speaking to the pilgrims, and he says, "Chief, signing executive order, says now you can stay in country." Think about that, how that goes, and our history. We have so much to be thankful for that is not our own. How can we dare not to share it? Living here is a privilege, and the real owner of this land or any land is God. And as we honor God and give God thanks this Thanksgiving, we should celebrate that it is a gift. Unfortunately, I think sometimes we begin to talk about our citizenship in terms of rights rather than privileges. Both are important. Both are a part of the law. But it seems to me that there is enough of privilege to be shared, and that to hoard more than we really need for ourselves when others are harmed or even ignored is a sin, at least of selfishness. A Jewish story goes like this. "I went up to heaven in a dream, and I stood at the gates of paradise in order to observe the procedure of the heavenly court. I watched as a learned rabbi approached and wished to enter. Day and night," he said, "I studied the Holy Torah." That should earn me a place. "But wait," said the angel. "Let's investigate whether your study was for its own sake or whether it was a matter of profession and for the sake of honors." A righteous person, a priest, approached next. "I fasted much," he said, "and I underwent many ritual cleansings. I studied the Torah day and night." "Wait," said the angel. "Wait until we have completed our investigation to learn whether your motives were pure." And then the next one to approach was a tavern keeper, a humble man. And as he drew near, he said, "I kept an open door, and I fed without charge every poor man who came into my inn. And the heavenly portals were opened to him." It's hard to stay righteous, though. We can do it, but we can't do it for very long. Sometimes challenges come at us from every direction. Only the tough ones survive, or the lucky maybe, or the privileged, or the creative. Have you heard about the story of two cowboys that are out working cattle one day? And one of them discovered he was in terrible trouble when a wild bull came charging at him with his head down and his nostrils flaring. The resourceful cowboy saw a deep hole in the ground and he quickly jumped into it. As soon as the bull passed over him, he jumped back up out of that hole. And the bull, madder than ever, took another run, came charging back again, and the cowboy jumped back down in the hole. And when the bull passed, the cowboy jumped out of the hole again. He did it several times, and finally the other cowboy, who was watching it all from some safe distance, yelled out, "Why don't you just stay in the hole?" And the other cowboy yelled back, "I would like to, but there's a bear in the hole." We are resourceful people, and we need to be. We must be. Our spirit of individualism and even rugged individualism makes us survivors. It makes us work hard and to believe that we're worth more. But we have a lot of momentum for our side, on our side, for we are the ones who Jesus has healed. God has brought hope and help to us through Jesus Christ, or at least the offer of that, if we've not taken advantage of it. We're like some of those lepers who had nothing were it not for Jesus' graceful miracle. But it's huge that only one of them came back to give back and to give thanks. This Thanksgiving and beyond, I hope that we are ones who will return to give thanks and acknowledge what we've been given and what we have to share. To live humbly and grateful in this kind of a way means that we know we didn't earn all of it because of our own worthiness, but rather we are privileged because others have served or even gifted us, or even that God has gifted us. But God's gifts are meant to be accepted, not hoarded, shared evenly, not challenged or contested, or at the very worst, gobbled up and taken for granted. We are called to give thanks. We are called to share what we have been given. That's how some people experience God. And you, for some people, may be the only Bible that they will ever read. Once there was a little boy who wanted to meet God. He knew it would be a long trip to wherever God lived, so he packed his suitcase. He nearly filled it with Twinkies and cans of root beer, his two favorite things. And he set off on his journey. He'd gone only a few blocks when he came to the park. He passed an older woman sitting on a park bench and just sitting there and staring at the pigeons. She looked sad and maybe lonely. So the boy went over and sat down next to her. He opened his suitcase and he got out a package of Twinkies and he offered one to her. She took it gratefully and smiled at him. Her smile was so warm and wonderful that the boy wanted to see it again. And so he offered her a can of root beer. And once again, she took it and smiled at him. And the little boy was just delighted. So there they sat all afternoon, eating the Twinkies and drinking the root beer and watching the pigeons without saying many more words at all to each other. As it grew dark, the little boy realized it was time for him to head home. So he got up to leave, but before he had left her sight, he turned back around, ran back to the older woman and gave her a big hug. And she gave him the biggest smile of all. When the little boy got home, his mother noticed how happy he seemed to be. So she asked him what he had been doing all day. And he told her, "I had lunch with God." And you know what? She has the most beautiful smile I've ever seen. Meanwhile, the older woman returned to her home, and her son noticed how happy and contented she seemed to be. So he asked her what she had done that made her so happy, and she said, "I sat in the park and ate Twinkies with God." And you know what? God is a lot younger than I had thought. So we see God in the faces of people, in one another, in our homes, hopefully, and in the barber shop, in the parking lot, at the football game. We have a chance to impact people everywhere we go. God's blessings and God's gifts are all around us, gifts meant to be passed around the table and shared. Let me end with this one more story. It's about how we misuse sometimes. The kids' Sunday school teacher was known for elaborate object lessons. The kids knew that they were in for a full day when they arrived at their classroom and tacked up on the bulletin board was a big target. Bunches of darts lay on a table nearby. The teacher told the students to draw a picture of someone they disliked or someone that made them angry or they just couldn't stand, and that he would allow them to put those pictures up on the target, on the bulletin board, and throw darts at them. Sally drew a picture of a former friend, putting great detail into her drawing, right down to the dimples on her friend's face. The pictures were tacked up over the target, the class lined up, and each person took turns throwing darts with some laughter and a whole lot of glee at what they were getting to do. They were really taking out their frustrations. Some of the class threw their darts with such force that their targets were ripping apart. The papers were tearing, and the darts were digging holes in the bulletin board. They were all laughing proudly. It sort of got out of hand, giggling as they tore those pictures. Sally looked forward to her chance, but she was disappointed when they ran out of time before her turn. She sat there kind of fuming because she had not gotten to throw her darts. The teacher began removing the tattered pictures one at a time off the target. The target itself was all torn up too. And eventually the teacher pulled the thumbtacks out and removed the target. And underneath that target was a picture of Jesus. The room fell silent as each student viewed that mangled picture of Jesus, holes and jagged rips covering his face and piercing his eyes. And the teacher said to them these words, and class was over. She said, "Inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brothers, my sisters, you have done it unto me." The room was silent as each student viewed the mangled picture of Jesus, holes and jagged rips, and they fell silent. They were learning a lesson, because you see how we treat people demonstrates how we have recognized the kingship of Christ. Jesus fed the hungry, clothed the naked, and he said that the disciples of the kingdom of God are the ones that do the same. So how we treat his people tells how we treat him. Inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you have done it unto me. Jesus calls us to serve him and to serve others in his name. A spirit of ownership, conquest, and rugged individualism doesn't really dress us up very well. Rather, let us say, Lord, in this thanksgiving and in every blessing we share, make us humbly grateful and ready to share it with others. Happy Thanksgiving. If today is the day